things Archie's here. Betty's here. Veronica too. Reggie's here. Hey Jughead, where are you?
Welcome to issue 25 of Behind the Panels, the only comic book podcast that has sidekicks known as Sloth Boy and Jerry the Cowboy. I'm one of your co-hosts, Richard Gray.
And I'm your other co-host, David McVeigh. And welcome to the third, I believe it is, short specials that we're doing while you're traveling the world.
Absolutely. And at this very moment, while I'm sitting here in the studio, I am also, let me see, 22nd of April. I should be about Barcelona-ish.
I hate you.
Barcelona.
Barcelona. Okay. All right. So, Richard, how are you?
I'm incredibly well, David.
Considering you're sunbaking in Barcelona.
Well, clearly, Barcelona!
Barcelona! What is it? Never mind him. He's from Barcelona.
Oh, what's it? Weird. New teeth. David, those of you who have been listening to our specials so far will know that we recorded these all in a single day.
I know exactly how he is.
Yeah. And we're actually, and if you think it sounds a little different, which we're sitting about 6 inches from each other at the moment.
I'm actually sitting in Richard's lap.
Yeah. And I'm sitting on his lap is Jerry the Cowboy. This week, because it is a special, we thought we'd do a bit of a light-hearted special. So again, you won't be hearing any comic news, any movie news, but you will be hearing our Kick-Ass Pick of the Week, which we've dubbed this week the lighter side of the Punisher, or as you said, David, the specials that you never
asked for. The crossovers that we never asked for.
So we're looking at two specials. Punisher Kills the Marvel Universe, which was written by Punisher expert Garth Ennis. And, of course, as it refers to itself, the crossover you've been dreading, 48 pages, no ads, The Punisher meets Archie.
Yes, you did hear that correctly. And I am so surprised you didn't have that sound clip ready to go. Archie, what is Archie and Veronica?
Archie and Veronica. Blush. Well, this is the issue that made
Archie and Veronica blush.
There you go, a little bit late on that one, but that's
sorry.
All right.
But I do have this week, because as always, we have a vintage clip of the week, which will fulfill our Archie quotient.
All right.
For the week. So here we go, vintage clip of the week.
Hi, how's about dropping in on Riverdale High? We're going to have a talent show at today's assembly. Everybody has been working up an act. I wonder if Jughead is practicing an act. If I know Jug, he's more than likely practicing up his eating. Hey, there he is in the chemistry lab. Dum-de-dum-dum. Dum-de-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum. Hiya, Jug. What's cooking?
Oh, hi, Art. Stick around and be the first kid on your block to witness Jughead Jones' new food enlarger in action.
I know it. Don't tell me. You're going to try and make that cake double its size, right, Jug?
Right. I just put a little secret formula on this paintbrush, and watch, you're really in for a treat, Art.
Hey, what happened to the cake?
It's gone.
Wait a minute, Jug. It's still here, but we can't see it. You haven't invented a food enlarger. Invisible paint.
Invisible paint.
Hey, that's even better. I can paint hamburgers and eat them in class. Without the teacher knowing it.
Gosh, Jug, you're going to have to be careful that this stuff doesn't get you into trouble. It could spell plenty of trouble in the wrong hands.
Yeah, and ruin my plans for snacking between meals. Boy, I can taste those hamburgers now.
Or you could get lead poisoning from the paint. And all I can think is then the Punisher blows in the town and...
Ooh, that's gotta hurt.
Oh, yeah. That was, of course, as you probably guessed, it was from an Archie animated series.
That is
series.
Not how I ever pictured Jughead sounding.
You didn't picture Jughead sounding like this. The thing is, Jughead's always seemed like a little bit of a stoner in the comics.
Yeah, I kind of pictured Jughead going, dude, you know.
Look, the dude has got, like... a lab where he's cooking up chemicals that he's dusting his food to consume with. It's like I think you said on film, actually, one of the episodes that that sandwiches are always a metaphor for weed in How I Met My Mother. I think here Jughead's lab is a metaphor for something else.
And
as
his
well.
Hamburgers are definitely something else.
He eats a lot of hamburgers. So look, that was from, of course, The Archie Show, which ran for one season or 17 episodes in 1968.
I'm stunned I've never seen this.
Yeah, look, you can find some of these clips on YouTube. I don't know if they've been
released. I've watched Josie and the Pussycats. I've never watched The Archie Show.
They repackaged this a lot in different series like throughout the years, right up until 1978, I think. I'd seen the Josie and the Pussycats stuff as well. Well,
there's two incarnations of that, because there was the Josie and the Pussycats where it was kind of like a Scooby-Doo clone.
That's
and then
right.
there was the one where they went into space.
Mm-hmm. Well, apparently they have released these on DVD. They've released Archie Show, the complete series, Archie's Funhouse. There was a complete series of that. And there was a complete animated series of Sabrina the Teenage Witch as well.
I've seen the Teenage Witch.
So look, you know, Archie's been around since 1941.
He's still looking pretty young.
He's looking pretty good. And I like the way in the comic, which we'll talk about, we're going to talk about that second, they keep the retro thing by having them all go to a 1950s box dance. Like it's a theme thing. And he keeps talking about the costume that he bought especially for that. So they've got that classic Archie's look in it.
Yeah.
It's actually funny. So that clip was from the 1960s and very much from the 1960s.
Very much from the 1960s. As I say, I would never have pictured Jughead sounding like that. But it's kind of like the way I felt when I first saw the very first Peanuts cartoons, when like Charlie Brown cartoons. And I always went, that's not how I pictured that group of people at all, ever sounding. When you read it, that's not what you picture.
No, I just imagine them all singing Sugar Sugar.
dearie me. All right, so this week, yes, with the inevitable crossover with the Punisher coming to Riverdale? Yeah, Riverdale. we also have Garth Ennis's The Punisher Kills the Marvel Universe. Now, I didn't quite know what to make of this comic book when I first started reading it, because at first glance, it feels like a fairly serious comic book. You've got him in jail, him being released from jail. You know, it's the whole idea that he's being put on a mission, you know.
Fact, it begins and ends as a very serious comic book.
It does. And then in the middle, it literally is, what if we boil it down to its essence, it is, what if the Punisher was assigned the mission to kill every costume?
Yeah, well, I mean, he actually, rather than basically sort of retells a bit of the Marvel, the origin of Frank Castle, and says Castle's wife and children are killed, instead killed when they're caught in the middle of a fight between the Avengers and the X-Men.
Right.
So he actually blames the costume heroes for the death of his wife.
In the original origin, they weren't. They were killed by the mob.
Yeah,
right?
And that's why he's waged his one-man war against the mob. Instead, in this, he actually wages a war against costumed heroes and decides to kill the entire Marvel Universe. This is a book that has truth in advertising.
Yeah.
Because he literally does go through and kills everybody that was in the Marvel Universe.
In really creative, interesting ways.
Well, he's actually put on trial for triple homicide at one point in this thing, and his lawyer is Matt Murdock. so there is a relationship that develops between those two, and that actually comes when we will say now that Daredevil is the last person he kills. This is that Daredevil Frank Castle relationship is very much a part of the current continuity of Daredevil and Punisher comics. Mm. It's always been kind of there, even back in the old Daredevil and Punisher comics. There was always that kind of dynamic between the two of them. They both patrol New York as Spider-Man and the Fantastic Four, for that matter. But they have very different ethics when it comes to their enemies. So this is basically fan service, I guess.
Punisher has always been a very, very violent character. He's always been a character where you sit there and go, what if you had that ability to just go out and wreak that kind of revenge or punishment, as he calls it, and not have consequences on it? You know what I mean? If you just go out and be Frank Castle and go out there, and the thing that no superhero can do.
Yeah. Well, this is actually really interesting. I'm just reading about this now, and apparently when Punisher Kills the Marvel Universe came out, it pretty much fell into obscurity immediately. It sort of came out with very little fanfare. It was just a one-shot kind of, as you say, what-if sort of thing. Garth Ennis wrote it. And Garth Ennis has rapidly become, I guess, the Punisher go-to guy.
This is, and he wrote the series Welcome Back, Frank, which we reviewed.
But it was only when that series came out and he became known as it, people actually went back and found this book and realized, oh, hey, he's been kind of writing Castlewell for a while now. So this is a really interesting book. It is over the top as hell.
That's nuts. I mean, I think the only way to describe both of these books is nuts. They're nuts. I mean, the idea behind Punisher Kills Marvel Universe is he's basically hired to go out and kill the Capes, which he's already waging war with anyway.
Well, he's really just sort of doing it on his own.
Basically, these people say, you know, we will pay you money and so forth. Help us out.
Yeah.
And they are all victims at some point of being collateral damage in Cape battles. And so they're all angry about it. And I think my favorite, it's an odd word to say because it's so brutal, but I think my favorite is Spider-Man. Is the take out, because it's so unexpected how it happens. Because this is the thing. I mean, you know, Spider-Man's fighting Venom and he's tough, and you know, Spider-Man is unstoppable. Basically, he's got all this power, and Frank just shoots him. And so one thing you sit there and you go, why hasn't anybody ever thought of that?
Well, the thing one of my favorite ones was at the start, because the thing that starts this whole series is him getting caught in a battle with the X-Men as well there. And he just turns around and Cyclops is going, I'm sorry, we didn't realize. And he just turns around and just shoots three of the X-Men. It's like there, or however many of the X-Men it was, just there. And he immediately goes into a fight with Wolverine.
Yeah.
Which he obviously survives, and Wolverine survives because he's killed in a rather more creative way.
Yeah, which I'm not entirely convinced is actually the way you could kill Wolverine. But for the purposes of this comic book, it is it is fine. But I think we've actually seen that Wolverine actually has a battle with the Hulk actually in another miniseries where he is reduced to less than he is in this book, and he still manages to basically resurrect himself and reform himself. So I think you'd need to do a little bit more. But as you say, this book was written a while ago. Mm. Wolverine wasn't fully developed into having that. I mean, Wolverine's healing power has actually gotten more and more powerful as the years have gone by. Have you noticed this? Mm. It used to be a scratch would heal fast, and now he could literally reform from like a microbe.
Well, it's funny, and also speaking of the Hulk, he does the other thing, which is fairly obvious. He waits until he turns back into Banner and has fallen asleep and shoots him in the head.
That's right. You know, it's all these logical things where you sit there and go, all the obvious weaknesses of these heroes. And he just takes care of it. And once again, what do most villains do wrong in movies and stuff? That when they pull their gun out, they talk.
They talk.
Frank doesn't talk. No. He just whips out a gun and pulls the trigger. And that takes people off guard. I also love his taking out of Doctor Doom.
Yes. I'm just looking at that now.
Which is terrific. I think it is a fun book. And once again, it is a what if. And you have to take it as a grain of salt that it is a what if. In the sense that this is not real, this is not happening, and you just opened one of my favorite panels.
Yeah. And it's kind of like all the mutants have gathered together, saying, "What do we do to face this?" And he just drops a nuke on them.
He nukes
the
entire island. I think that's brilliant.
Which, as a result,
and then there's a great line where he goes, "Now there's a giant step for all of mankind." Oh dear!
That results in Wolverine getting quite drunk.
Yeah, and we have the fight with Wolverine. This is what comes down to this, you know, how would he solve the Wolverine issue of always being able to heal? Has a fight, and he actually electrocutes him till the point where he's just a skeleton, fries off all his skin. And as I say, we've seen in comic books since this came out that Wolverine probably could heal from that.
Mm.
So the only way to have really taken Wolverine out is to literally powderize him.
I think he probably would have died in the nuke if he'd been called to that.
Exactly. Yeah. So, although, would adamantium
survive
the nuke?
Well, that's interesting, actually. When they show his charred skeleton, it doesn't look like an adamantium skeleton.
No, the claws are still there.
Oh, the claws are still there,
The claws are still there. So all that's hopefully left is the adamantium. If that's all that's left then you might be in business. All right, so this is an amusing book. What I think is the most poignant part of this entire book, though, has got to be the ending of this book.
Yeah, well, it basically comes down to him and Daredevil. And when he realizes just before he kills Daredevil, that's Matt Murdock. Mm. Matt actually says to him, you know, there's always someone under the mask, Frank. It's, yeah. You know, we're not anonymous heroes. He says, but you killed us all. And as Matt dies, he says, no, Matt, there's one more, and turns the trigger on himself.
And I think that is probably the moment in this book where you go, yeah, because he is part of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
And if he's going to kill them all, he's got to be
absolutely
included in that lineup. And I just think that it's really, as I said, it starts and ends on a serious note.
Mm.
And so you sit there and you start off with this book and you go, oh, is this going to be a serious book? And then how elaborate some of the deaths are in this book. Yeah. And you're like with the nuclear bomb on the island. And you sit there and go, it's just getting more and more outrageous. But then to end on that very quiet note with he's taken out Daredevil, last one to go, and then shoots himself.
But I think this is what Garth Ennis does very well. And people realize this years later when he came back and wrote Castle again, that he's really good at escalating, and making things ridiculous, like he does with Preacher as well.
Mm.
And then pulling it back and get these really surprisingly emotional moments because he's just gone completely off the rails.
Because what he does is he never forgets at the core of all of his stories is a character.
Mm.
And that character has to be serviced. And you can make the most outrageous situations you want around those characters as long as you don't forget that the character is underneath there and has to be serviced. On the flip side of this book, I don't think... what's the writer's name on this one?
Archie.
Punisher versus Archie is... Bat and Lash. I don't think Bat and Lash quite understand. I think I'm taking a guess here. I'm taking a punt here. I think this is probably an Archie writer.
I'm thinking so as well, because he gets the Riverdale universe.
Yeah, the Riverdale universe is much more fleshed out than the Punisher universe. Mm. So in Archie versus the Punisher, which is the most ridiculous book ever written. And they acknowledge that. They know that coming in. There's a whole editor's notes at the beginning where they basically say, this is, and quite frankly, where I got that from, they say, this is the crossover you never asked
That's
for.
Sure. Yeah.
You know? And
in fact, both of those editor's notes say, you know, we thought this was a joke.
Yeah, exactly.
Or it started as a joke.
When they proposed this, what the hell are we thinking, you know? So basically what we have is a villain, a mobster type character who basically looks a little bit like a deformed Archie.
Yeah, with buck teeth.
With buck teeth, who basically escapes out of New York and goes to hide out in Riverdale, who is immediately mistaken identities with Archie and all sorts of other things. And of course, Veronica latches onto him because he's, I don't know, they never made it clear whether he really was rich or whether he was just conning.
I think he was conning, thought he was a I think Castle makes a reference to it at one point that he goes from town to town pretending he's something else.
Yeah, and one point he rattles off all these names like also known as, you know. So he's got all these names. So anyway, Frank needs to pursue this because they are, and in this particular case, he's actually working for the federal government. Mm. The federal government has asked him to go find this guy because they need him as a witness. In this particular case. So he packs up his van with his computer hacker friend.
Microchip,
yeah.
Yep.
And who's not in the rebooted Punisher series.
No, but he's in Kills the Marvel Universe as well.
And so he packs up his van.
I should say, in the rebooted Marvel Universe, he actually says at the start of it, no partners, just me against the world. Yeah.
And God, it's a good series.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's such a good series.
Yeah.
Anyway, polar opposite to this.
Yeah.
Right? And basically, he says to Microchip at that point, what do you know about Riverdale? And he says, nothing. Absolutely nothing. And so we have Punisher show up in the Riverdale world and having to deal with this. Now, Richard, what did you think of this preposterous, ridiculous book?
It's mental. It's really... it is preposterous. It is ridiculous. And that's kind of the point. I still think... They were all...
You're speechless.
I still think there was this moment in both Marvel Comics and Archie Comics where they both collectively thought they must have been smoking something because they said...
A great big sandwich.
They're both having a giant sandwich covered in lead paint.
Invisible lead paint.
Not knowing what they were eating at that point and decided, let's get him together.
Do you know what would be funny?
If like someone like the Punisher went to Riverdale, dude. And that's what happened. And it's stupid. I mean, there are some nice moments in this, like the what's the elderly woman's name? I've forgotten her name.
Oh, she's kind of like, Mrs. Name's gone out of my head. I'm on the wrong comic book to start with.
Is it Mrs. Beasley?
Oh yeah, Mrs. Beasley. Yeah.
She and I should actually say before I go on any further, there is an old archived website. It used to be called Andy's comic book site. And it's no longer in existence, but it has been archived. And if you go to the Archie Meets the Punisher entry on Wikipedia, there's a link to it at the bottom of that. And it's got like footnotes for all the characters that appear in the series. And if you don't recognize some of the characters, it tells you who they are and what it's a reference to.
Oh, wow. Somebody had too much free time on their hands.
Yeah, absolutely. So someone's gone through and referenced it like right to the final panel, which we will talk about shortly. But yeah, Mrs. Beasley actually... mistakes the Punisher as the new fitness coach at Riverdale High.
He's wearing sweats.
And she kind of gets a bit of a crush on him. And there's a running gag thread. Even when she realizes he's the Punisher, she's like, oh, he's gorgeous, isn't he? And then at the end of the comic, he actually gives her a kiss before he leaves and thinks you've been a big help. You know? It's kind of like, you get the. And the one thing that they do, and the one thing that I did like about this, is you get the impression throughout it that Frank kind of wants to stay in Riverdale.
You get that at the end where it's like he's kind of like, yeah, it's kind of nice here.
Yeah. You know? he likes not having to wage this one man war on crime, and it's and I think that's always been true of Frank. Like in the Welcome Back Frank arc that we covered earlier, when he develops this kind of de facto weird family with Specker Dave and so forth, in this apartment building, Mr. Bumper. all these crazy characters, he kind of actually starts feeling the thing that he's been missing because his own family was taken away him. So he starts, and this is kind of where they're coming from that, but it's never that serious.
We can't really invest emotionally in this because every second panel you turn around and there's Archie and Jughead and Veronica and you sit there and go, this doesn't work.
This is your typical Archie comedy of errors. It's kind of like, they're all going to the dance. There's two people who look like Archie. You know, a couple of different girls are all interested in it.
And he's mistaken for the gym coach. All
that kind of thing happens and it's kind of, but all's well that ends well kind of thing by the end of it. And, you know, on that level, it's a fairly inoffensive book. People are killed left, right, and center, but there's no blood.
No, in this,
it's not like Punisher kills the Marvel Universe.
And nobody—we must stress—nobody in the Archie world is killed.
No. That's all.
All the people who get killed are people who have come in from New York.
What I love about Mrs. Beasley's character as well, that she's very knowing about all the things. She goes, "Well, those chefs were all carrying Uzis," and she actually points out. She goes, "You know, from that world, they probably wouldn't be doing." You know, she's got all this knowledge. That's kind of like, and I love that they kind of just hint at the fact that she's a little bit subversive. You know, I like little things like that. Moose just turns up randomly towards the end.
Oh, and Josie and the Pussycats are playing at the ball.
And
you
all
know,
that sort of thing. The war journal entries that they do throughout it.
Archie's war journal entries.
Archie's and then like journal. At one point it's like, Archie, we're trying to find out who kidnapped our best friend here. And he's like, I'm trying to look serious.
He's drinking he's drowning his sorrows in chocolate milk. I need to create a tab.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, stuff like that makes this a fun reference. It's more for, I think, Archie fans than it is for Punisher fans. But
yeah, look, I think if you are a serious Marvel fan, you're probably going to find it grates on you. Mm. But if you're an Archie fan, this is kind of fun stuff.
We're totally doing an Archie book at some stage.
We are going to do an Archie. I think we should do either the marriage or the...
I can't remember what the other one was. It was the mom's
wanted to get it off the shelf. So
yeah, I thought that was the gay marriage one.
Is that the gay marriage?
There was another one that came out after that though as well. Anyway. That's right. It was the Occupy Riverdale.
Occupy Riverdale.
So maybe we'll do a collection of controversial Archie.
I think so. I think we'll do a little bit of research on that. We'll find some titles when you come back from Europe. When you land.
I'm away right now, contrary to the fact that I'm 6 inches from death.
When you come back, we'll do a little bit of Archie, the Riverdale universe, because look, there's some fun stuff that's to be had in there. And look, I got to admit, when I was younger, I used to read a lot of Archie comics. I used to think Archie comics was actually a lot of fun.
Mm.
And they're silly and they're kind of nonsensical, but they were always fun, you know?
Look, it is... when major media talks about comic books, they often think of Archie as being comic books. Yeah. So when you get anything a little bit naughty and, you know, Fox exclaims things like,
Archie and Veronica blush.
It's because that's what they're thinking of in terms of comics. And, you know, so when Batman has sex with Catwoman on the rooftop, that's not an Archie comic. Yeah. You know, so it is an innocent comic, and it is, I think, there's
still... I think we should send a copy of this to Fox News.
Absolutely. Look, you know, I don't think they'd care. They'd probably do a whole special on a book that came out, you know, 15 years ago or something. And when did this book come out, actually? This Archie Meets the Punisher was 1994.
Well, that's a while ago.
So, yeah, I think that came out, and this came out before the Punisher killed the Marvel Universe. So, obviously, he left Riverdale and decided to go back.
This was kind of a period of time where the Punisher was a little bit lost as well, though. I don't think they quite knew what to do with this character.
Until Garth Ennis took over the title.
And reinvented it.
The Punisher was very much a B character in the Marvel Universe. And this is, you know, this is only 5 years after the first Punisher film.
that shall not be named.
Which shall not be named. We did play a clip of a while ago. Yes. It had Barry Otto delivering his lines in rhyming couplet. but look, you know, it's a fun thing. I mean, look, you know, it makes as much sense as The Punisher and, you know, Daredevil meets the Happy Days gang or something.
There's a comic I want to read.
There you go. Somebody at Marvel, take this down.
We want Daredevil meeting the Happy Days.
Yeah, it was like,
And then I want, Sergeant Rock in MASH.
Yeah.
I think we could come up with a whole bunch of crossovers here.
That would be great.
Somebody's got to meet Richie Rich.
Oh.
Tony Stark.
Stark meets Richie Rich.
No, I'm the richest. Let me count my money. I'll count your money.
And then we could have John Constantine meets Casper the Friendly.
I could call John Constantine Exercises Casper. And that will be the final appearance from Casper.
If anybody's listening out there, we want these books.
All right, now you want to talk about the last page.
Okay, the last page of this is actually a reference to a potential follow-up which never happened.
Which never, thankfully, never happened.
The whole book's been based on the premise of mistaken identity. And the Punisher, looking at this wearing a Riverdale High sports jacket, sees this new target that Cerebro says is the most dangerous mutant alive. If that's the case, he has to find out what he's made of, bub. It's Wolverine. Sorry, it's another panel. The last thing we see of Punisher is actually him wearing a Riverdale High jacket. Maybe he's gone off to do nicer things. But Wolverine has actually been given a target. Who looks strangely like Jughead.
In a crown.
In a crown.
Yeah.
Wearing a proper crown.
And then I love it says, the end, you tell us. Well, I don't think anybody did.
Nobody wrote in and said that they wanted.
So we never got Archie meets the X-Men.
No, but there were references in here to other things. Sabrina apparently comments in there, so I asked the Doctor if the hosts of Hogarth were really hoary, implying that she'd met Doctor Strange.
Oh, where was that?
It's on page, and I'm going back to...
I didn't even notice the Sabrina entry.
Yeah, it's on page 32, if you're looking for it.
All right, that's
seen for the first time as Midge there. Sabrina the Teenage Witch is there. There's a blonde pussycat as well on that page. Marvel Teen Millie, the model's there as well. There's a lot of little references all the way through it. So
I will have to dig out that reference because I didn't actually even notice Sabrina. I noticed Josie and the Pussycats reference. That was definitely there.
It should be. Yeah, I'm not sure if the pagination's the same for our edition.
No, it might be a different page. This is also a very old article. So
it's an old article, so it could have been off a different edition of the book.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, there's all sorts of things in there as well. So look.
The Riverdale cop goes to open up the back of Frank's van, and this fist just goes
flying out. Look, this is an insane book. Look, if you haven't read it, I kind of have to recommend it because it is just so insane.
I look at when he says that was Riverdale's finest. Frankie goes, then they're going to need all the help they can get.
Look. It's Archie meets the Punisher. I mean, this is it's exactly what it sounds like.
In the words of Stan Lee, Enough said.
Excelsior. So look, obviously there was no follow-up to this. I want all those books listed. I particularly want John Constantine meets Exercise Casper the Friendly Ghost.
Yeah, I think that would be... That would be...
That's the only book I want to read from this point onwards. I think when there's a Justice League Dark, Casper the Friendly Ghost crossover, or Hellblazer.
I think Casper, it's got to happen.
Yep.
DC Comics, and who produces Casper nowadays? It's Archie, isn't it?
It's still Archie Comics.
It's still Archie. In that case, you two get together, go for it.
Yeah. Look, Marvel's already redoing the 90s as it is now with all their crossovers.
I reckon, though, it needs to be a Vertigo title.
This is right up Vertigo's alley because they're only doing Ghost. Because they haven't got a Ghost book.
No, they've got a Voodoo book in a Vertigo title.
Look, they've got zombies. They've got vampires. They've got a Voodoo book. They've got an Alien book. So they need a Ghost book. All I'm saying is Casper the Friendly Ghost.
Casper and the Terrible Trio.
Yeah, yeah. It's due for a revival.
Damn straight. I'm there. All right. All right, what's our book next week?
Okay, our book next week, and we're still being in the holiday special mode. So our book next week is going to be The Avengers Prelude, Fury's Big Week from Marvel. That is, of course, because around the world, Avengers comes out next week.
Yep.
At the cinema, and this is
I'm so excited.
Oh yeah. I'll hopefully be seeing that in London. I've made contact, so let's see what happens. But it opens in London a bit and Australia a little bit earlier too.
But you're gonna see it under its other title,
which is Avengers Assemble.
Yeah,
because there's already an Avengers in the UK and it had John Steed and Emma Peel.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if people are really gonna mistake
I think at this point the Avengers brand name is out there.
I think so.
Just imagine going, dear me, that's not exactly what I was expecting.
Well, where's the bowler hat?
That Tony Stark was quite delightful.
I think that Scarlett Johansson should have been wearing a catsuit. Oh, she was.
Just like Uma Thurman.
Just like Uma Thurman. There you go.
So we'll be looking at that because it's a big tie-in. This is actually the kind of behind the scenes of what's been happening. Nick Fury's been doing in between all of the different Marvel movies that have been out over the last, 5 years or so.
Absolutely. So that'll be fun. For those who need to read it, it's a digital-only comic.
Yeah, some of them have been available in print, but you can find these online. Go to the Marvel website, and it'll give you details on how to find it.
So. Absolutely. Richard, where can people find out more about you on the internet?
They can find me at therealbits.com. That's the RELBits.com. Or you can find me on Twitter at DVDBits.
Fantastic. You can find me at geekactually.com or on Twitter at David McVeigh. That's it. That's another show, dude.
That's another one of our specials. We have a couple more of these specials to go. In fact, next week will be our final... we've got two more summer specials to go next week, and we're doing one final one. But come the 13th of May... we'll be back to our regular programming.
Yay, back to our regularly scheduled programming. Please stand by. No, don't stand by.
Please keep listening.
Keep listening.
Tell your friends and then stand by.
Richard, I'll see you next week.
I'll see you then. Honey, honey, you are my